Welcome to the fifth episode of my Move Me Happy podcast. Here I want to find out which movements make you especially happy. Today I chat with Ineko from Berlin. Hello Ineko, how are you? Did you sleep well?
Hello Maike, yes, sleep very good. I feel great today and thanks for having me here.
Yeah, so maybe that's the thing I always do in the beginning of these short interviews is that I ask the person I'm talking to if he or she wants to introduce herself briefly. Like maybe you want to tell a bit like where you grew up, what did you do after school, what did you do for work, what do you like to do in your free time, what are you doing now?
So I was born in the Basque Country 42 years ago in 1978. And yeah, since then I've done a lot of things, let's say. When I was 19, I decided I didn't want to study anymore. So I chose a musical career, let's say. I started DJing and that was a great passion and a great part of my life. Beside that, I had a lot of interests, mostly sport related. When I was 6, I think, I started skiing with my family. And sailing, for example, and that brought me into a teaching direction, because when I was 15, I started teaching sailing to younger kids. I was still a kid, but I was teaching other kids. And then that brought me to when I was 30. Yeah, I started probably the most important part of my life when I started teaching ski and snowboard. So I moved to the mountains and I could say that somehow changed my life. Really good. And yeah, other things that I've been doing would be, yeah, well, mostly I love design, which is what I'm studying now, because 2 years ago I had some serious injuries in my knee, my hands, and so I decided to quit professional skiing, or to quit teaching, because it actually is a very demanding sport. You spend four months skiing every day, almost five hours a day, and that's very tough, especially when you get over 40. So now I'm in Berlin, as you know, and I'm studying graphic design. So yeah, it's a big change in my life, to something very active, to something very passive. For the last year, I've been sitting on a computer almost my whole day, and yeah, not so nice.
Oh, yeah, well, then just continue with the movement subject, maybe. So as I could hear, movement just always played a very big role in your life, which makes you, of course, a very good partner for this interview, because I'm looking for movements that may act like a speedway to happiness. Like if there are movements that make somebody like you in this case especially happy. So maybe we can start by you telling a bit more about your movement story, although you already told a lot. Like maybe, like, did you start with skiing or sailing, or what was the first movement that touched your life, kind of?
Yeah, sure. So when I was, I think, as I said before, I started skiing when I was, I'm not sure if 5 or 6 years old, and sailing, I think, is 6 or 7, the youngest you can. There's some security age that you cannot sail on your own. So I think it was, I would say, 6 or 7 years old. Then the thing with sailing, which on that time was taking all of my free time, the thing is, my stepdad is a professional sailor. So he wanted me to take sailing very serious, and that implies a lot of training, a lot of racing, and a lot of pressure for a, I think, 13-year-old kid. That was crazy for me. So when I was 14, I said I don't want to sail anymore, and I changed to inline skating.
Yeah, cool.
Then I started. Yeah, you didn't know that. So then I joined the ice hockey team, which in Spain is very weird. There's only five teams in the north, because it's a hot land. And so ice hockey was not a very famous sport, but I loved it. It took all my mind and my free time and everything. I got obsessed with that. Then when I was 15, I started inline skating on a half pipe, and that's where I met most of my friends. And that would be another big sidelining, another big hit on my life. Mm-hmm. It will be inline skating will be a very important part of my life. Then I cannot say why, I don't remember why, suddenly we all changing from inline skating to skateboarding. I think because it was trending at the moment, it was cool to be a skater boy. So We all changed, and that developed in me changing from skiing, which was another big passion, to snowboarding. I think I was one of the first 10 persons in my city to ever try snowboarding, because I was lucky. My parents were always a bit forward thinking, so yeah, they offered me to try snowboarding, and I loved it.
Cool.
I would say in winter that was my only passion. I would only think of snowboarding all the time, and that will in the future bring us to the movement that makes me happy, which is perfect. Floating, but we'll talk about that later.
It's good that you already move in the direction, because that would have been my next question and the main question of this interview. If there is, or if there are, some movements that make you especially happy. Yeah, so okay. You can continue.
So the movement that makes me especially happy, I would define it as floating.
Yeah, we also talked about it a bit before we decided to do the interview, and I made a Insta post with you where I summed up what you said, and there you said, I can't explain why, but the movements that make me happy all involve balance and gravity, a floating sensation, and sometimes the location and circumstances are big factors on the feeling I get from the movement per se. No? So
wow, you've done your homework.
Yes. So is it really, because I'm looking for what my purpose in with this project is to look for movements that maybe act like a speedway to happiness, that like if you do this movement, like it's maybe not for everyone the same, but that if there are like some movements that make especially happy. So
all those previous notes that I made about that was based on an experience and not a specific movement. But if you want a specific movement, the thing is, it's very important, the context and the outside, let's say, conditions. Because when I ski race, for example, that is a really nice sensation. Mm-hmm. But if I try that, okay, so let me rephrase. The movement that really makes me happy is floating and skiing on powder snow. And that means you got 1 or 2 meters of fresh falling snow under you, and you don't get this resistance when you're normal ski, you get this resistance, you get a lot of friction, and when you're skiing on powder, you have nothing. It's like you're just floating. And every turn you go a bit down, and when you recover from the turn you go a bit up. It takes a lot of effort, but then since there's no it's not a race, it's not a there's no tension in it. It's just pure freedom, and that makes me happy. And that's, I can see I'm happy because I usually sing when I'm skiing, or I scream. Really, okay. I lost control of my, and just get driven away by happiness. If you see me from the outside, you will see some random guy just skiing and singing or screaming and bringing it out. Mm-hmm. But it has to be, you need that fresh snow. This is the key element. Because it's what gives you the floating sensation. Mm-hmm. What I mean is, I've done that same movement in hard snow and in fresh snow, and it only gives me that happiness on fresh snow, on the powder.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you very much. I think we can continue from that point, because as I did my homework on Insta when I posted this. Thing you said about that they all involve balance and gravity and a floating sensation. Now you describe this floating sensation more in detail, or what the circumstances required are to get this floating sensation. There was one guy that posted under your Insta posted that this sensation could be proprioception. So
completely right.
I'm not sure, because as I'm very interested in this subject, like the movement thing or movements that might make maybe especially happy. And I want to understand it on a deeper level. So I'm currently taking an online course in neuroscience where we look in a very, on a very, very, very small scale how neurons work. And I bought a book about neuroscience. And in the book, I started with a chapter on somatosensory system. The somatosensory system means concerning the perception of the body. And the somatosensory system controls a range of sensations like touch, pressure, vibration, limb position, heat, cold, itch, pain. And all this information is transmitted by receptors, for example, in the skin and in muscles. And one of these systems is proprioception. And this system is responsible for our ability to sense the position of our limbs and our body parts in the space. So it's an internal system of receptors that give detailed information about all our body parts in space. And yeah, it's like it's these receptors that are responsible for that system often sit in like spindles in the muscles. I hope it's correct English. So,
sorry, can I have a question?
Yeah.
So this proprioception is like a compass that tells us all the time where our body is positioned related to the floor, for example. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, for example, Jack, they're like little receptors on the neurons in the system. It's called afferents, and they like detect, for example, vibrations. And this gives information to the brain so that it knows where, for example, you hold your arm up or down, or like where all your body parts are in the moment and space. But it's, yeah, the research is still ongoing, but my book is from Oxford from 2018, so I don't know if they're much further, but they say they still don't really know where in detail how the system works, but they already found out that you can trick the system. That's quite cool. So if, like, for example, you have a dead arm, but you, with vibrations, you get the afferents of these neurons, so these receptors to vibrate, your brain thinks that your arm is moving. And another fun thing is you can also like make the brain believe that you can do movements that are humanly not possible. But that only works if you blindfold someone. So if someone has closed his eyes and in a certain way you get these receptors to vibrate, then, for example, it could be possible that your brain thinks your hand touches your elbow or something, like movements that are not possible. Yeah. So, but I don't get how like this floating sensation would be proprioception. Do you?
The thing is, I don't know if it's nothing to do with that, but I don't know. I don't know if it's proprioception, but one of the trainings that we do on the mountain with the mm-hmm. with the powder snow is we ski two persons, mm-hmm. and the person in front of me has his eyes closed,
mm-hmm.
and I gotta tell him go left, go right, and you see that the thing that they usually struggle the most is the angle of the body. So you can see the person has no reference of his body is straight, and you gotta tell him.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a really interesting exercise. I guess it's not based in proprioception, but it has something to do with it.
Yeah, but now I'm interested in this movement that makes you especially happy, which is the floating sensation. Are you still there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. like this guy on Insta said, like, I think this is proprioception. And also, you also said before, yeah, I think, yeah, this is proprioception. But like, after I read this chapter and I just gave the explanation, I don't know why it would be like proprioception. If proprioception is involved, that this would make you especially happy. I don't see the connection between floating and proprioception. Do you, maybe? It would be cool if you
see
it.
I don't know proprioception. No, I think somehow proprioception is a group of sensors that tells your body that you're floating. So without that proprioception, if you're not looking at some point, you wouldn't feel when your body's thing is that movement that brings me happiness is that weightless sensation. It's like when I turn and suddenly the snow brings me up,
mm-hmm.
and I feel like floating for 1 or 2 seconds. I feel like floating. I think proprioception is the part of, or is the sensor, let's call it, that tells my body that I'm lifting up or I'm going down without having to look.
So you would have to look to like to find out how you create, you can create in your receptors the Empfindung, I don't know the English word, that you're floating.
Yeah, because I don't feel it on with my eyes. I don't feel it. I only sense it because I'm not looking at the floor to see a reference between, oh, now my skis are lifting 20 centimeters. No, I just look at the mountain in front of me or the sky or the whatever it is that I'm looking. And it's my brain that automatically resets or understands when I'm going up and down.
Yes.
And it's that, you know, when you're on a roller coaster and you go to the top and then suddenly you go down, how you feel your stomach is left behind you. And you feel like you're going faster than your body really. So I don't know what, but there is a nice sensation on a roller coaster. Mm-hmm. Or is, I don't know if it's nice, some people doesn't like it, but it's no. This acceleration, floating, rapid movement. I don't know what it is, but.
No, I like your explanation. Yeah, it makes sense. So that the receptors of proprioception are responsible for telling your brain, now you're floating, and it's floating that makes you very happy. So if you like on a deeper level would like to find that out, you would have to pin the moment down, like isolate kind of the seconds where you feel floating, and then you would have to look like what movement gives the receptors the information that you think you're floating.
Yeah, but I'm not really deeply sure how my brains work.
Yeah, I was just thinking out loud. Sorry.
yeah, of course. But one kind of example.
Yeah.
If we reduce it to the simplest, have you seen a kid jumping on a trampoline, repeatedly jumping? Mm-hmm. Usually they look happy, right?
Yes.
What movement are they doing? Nothing. They're just bumping, right? They're just pushing the legs. That's all they're doing. But if you apply that on the floor, it's not as fun as you do it on a trampoline, right?
Yeah, that's right.
That's the mystery of it. That's what I got the same sensation. If I do it on the floor, I feel it's nice. It's satisfying going to speed and take some turns because it's very, not as specific. It's very detailed. It all depends on seconds and centimeters. And it has to be very precise. It's very technical.
Mm-hmm.
So if you do it good, you get a reward, and that's the happiness, or like it's a well done job. But if I do exactly the same on powder snow, I don't care about the result. I just care of the moment of having fun. It's the same movement in two very different contexts. So I cannot tell you really what it is.
Okay. It's very interesting.
If you want to make really sense, what I can do is officially here in front of all our listeners, I can invite you to ski one day.
Oh yeah, that would be very nice.
And then you make your own conclusions. Okay.
I'm a bit scared of skiing.
Yeah, that's why you got professionals by your side.
Okay.
I help a lot of people in my life to get rid of fear of skiing. A lot.
Okay.
And they're all very thankful, I might say.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, okay. We're almost done, I think, with my main questions. I have to check my first board again. Yeah, so I think it's the last part, kind of. Maybe in this particular situation, like a floating sensation, it's pretty hard to like to create or describe the movement for the listeners so that they
No, it's not.
Okay.
I'm prepared.
You're prepared. That's very good. Yeah.
Well, okay, then... I'm prepared. Yeah.
Okay. Then I just ask you if you can try to explain to the listeners your favorite movement so that they can try it at home.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's impossible to get the feeling without the snow.
Mm-hmm.
But going back to the child example, you could just go to your bed. Yeah. Stand on your bed with your feet open or spread as the same, let's say the same angle of your shoulders. So you spread your eyes, your feet a little bit, close your eyes, and then you're gonna bring all your weight to your left foot. And then try to use the rebound of the matratze of the bed and bring your weight to the other foot and try to do it repeatedly with a stable tempo. This is not going to bring you the happiness sensation that it brings to me, but it's going to, it's the most explanatory movement that I can, that you can relate to. It's the weight shifting on a bouncing surface with the eyes closed. So you get, you don't look at anything, you just close your eyes and try to find a tempo that is satisfying. As I said, it's not going to bring you anything, but then you can see more or less the movement that we do when we ski on powder snow.
Cool. Thank you.
Did you understand the
I understood it, but I try it afterwards.
Are you trying it?
No, after the interview, I'll step on my bed because I'm not on my bed now.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Do you want to add anything?
Yeah, you should try skiing. Go out and move. Whatever you whatever your thing is, just be happy and keep moving. I think very important motto in my life, is always keep moving.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Maike, for having me. It's been a pleasure. And I hope it was of some help.
Yes, very much. I think I can do a lot with that information. And maybe it also makes some other persons happy. So
I hope.
Then now you're allowed to move again. You don't have to sit still in front of your computer.
Yeah, because it's been long, man. 30 minutes sitting here on the floor. I have to go and jump.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. See you next time.
Yeah, see you. Thanks for listening. And thank you, Eneko, again for taking the time. And I hope you enjoyed listening. Yeah. You can also find me on Instagram, Anne Mutlich Happy. And every new follower makes me very happy. So, well, that's it for today. And the next episode will be available on the 22nd of May.